I love that red beanie she has on.
Very cute. And yeah, she looks great at the party.
I love that.
Very 90s, very now. Very 2024.
Very 90s, very now.
Welcome to Back to You, Bob, a Dawson's Creek podcast. We're very 90s, very now.
That should be our tagline. Where is it? Oh,
Dawson, look, there's your mom. Back to you, Bob. Accept your perfect life, Dawson.
And welcome to Back to You, Bob, a Dawson's Creek podcast. We are your hosts, Christina and Micah, and this is episode 313, Northern Lights, which originally aired on January 26th, 2000.
I have nothing to say.
Boring, dead zone.
Late January and February are peak seasonal depression. It's cold. It's dark at 3.
And to be honest, this episode probably didn't get me out of my depression.
No, it didn't get me out of my depression. So what are we drinking?
We are drinking the Northern Lights. It is 2 ounces of Yukon Jack or any other honey whiskey, 1 dash of peach schnapps, 2 ounces of orange juice, and 2 ounces of cranberry juice. She's a sweet one.
I love when our drink is like an exact title match for the episode. Just makes me happy.
We do the hard work, so you don't have to.
I just love when things just sync up.
Well, why don't you tell us what it's about?
All right, so this is episode 313, Northern Lights, and it opens with Pacey and Joey at the Potter B&B. They're running lines for Pacey's play, which is opening this weekend. He has the lead role of Paul in Barefoot in the Park. Joey shocks Pacey when she says that she's not actually going to be able to make it to opening night because AJ will be in town. Pacey can't believe it. She's ditching him for that college guy she met? Turns out he's going to be in town and he wants to take Joey to a party and to see the Northern Lights. Pacey thinks this is all an excuse to get in her pants, and he's very hurt that she won't be there to see his debut. She promises that she'll be there for the second night. So Pacey shows up to Joey's house on the night of the play premiere, and it's the night of her date, and he tells her that he can't remember any of his lines. He only knows his lines when he runs them with her. He doesn't even understand why she likes this AJ guy. And she tells Pacey it's because AJ is smart. You know, he's a college man. He's educated. He knows 3 languages. And Pacey watches as AJ shows up and they head off on their date. At the party, AJ and Joey get to know each other better. And it turns out that the Aurora Borealis might not even be visible tonight due to the clouds. So when Pacey is nowhere to be found right before the curtain, Andy enlists Dawson to find him. And he does, at the basketball court. He attempts to get Pacey to relax and asks him what has he liked about the play so far. And Pacey said that it's been a blast. So Dawson tells him just to lean into that. Go up there on stage and have fun. Life is about finding what you love and doing it. Pacey just can't take the pressure of this. You know, the audience, Andy's relying on him, their exes, things are weird right now. Pacey just can't wrap his head around why Dawson isn't more upset about Joey being on a date with AJ. Turns out Dawson didn't know about the date, and this is all news to him. We see that he's bothered, but he plays it off really well and tells Pacey that Joey moving on had to happen eventually. But Pacey is clearly more visibly shaken by this than Dawson. When Pacey gets up on stage, he kills it. Meanwhile, on the date, Joey opens up to AJ about how she feels torn between being the person she is and the person she thinks other people want her to be. And she talks about how she was one time into art, but she's not really sure if that's for her right now. And they talk about how she lost her mom at a young age, and they actually end up kissing. But then she abruptly ends the date. At the after party for the play, Jen can see how much it bothers Pacey that Joey wasn't here for him tonight. But then she arrives. Meanwhile, Dawson in this episode has dropped film class and instead he's picked up a study hall. As we know, he's kind of rethinking film and his passion due to what Nikki's told him in the last few episodes. And this is very upsetting to Nikki because they're working on a group project in film class together. But Dawson lets her know that, in part thanks to her, he's realized that he hasn't found much joy in film lately. And he's wondering what will bring him happiness next. When it comes to Jen and Henry in this episode, Henry is paranoid that Jen is going to cancel their date, and it turns out he's half right. She wants to postpone it because of the play, but he turns the tables on her and says that the play can be their date. When Henry arrives, she says that Grams will be joining them and even seats Grams in between her and Henry. At the cast party after the play, Henry takes a cue from the show and gets up on the rafters in an effort to get Jen to confess in front of everyone that she's been using him for 5 months. Later, she gets him down and she asks him to please stop doing these grand gestures. He doesn't need to try so hard. Henry just wants to be honest with her, and she says that being honest and being transparent is a false childhood notion. When you hit a certain age, you just can't be honest with your feelings all the time. But Henry says you actually can, and that's when she realizes that Henry has it, that innocence that kids have. Henry says that Jen has it too, she just forgot. He asks her to be honest with him right now, and in an effort to do so, she kisses him. So on the day of the play earlier that day, things are a total disaster. Pacey cannot remember his lines, Mr. Broderick has a kidney stone, and he enlists Andy to take over and step up as director for the day. It's a huge success. And Jack is happy to hear afterwards that Andy isn't super upset over her dad not being there for her tonight. You know, previously she would have been. But she actually likes that the people in the play and the people beside her tonight didn't know her past and didn't judge her for her mental illness struggles. There's something freeing in that. She realized in the hospital how important having structure and purpose is, and this play gave her both. So back at the cast party, Joey is happy to hear that Pacey did well. She knew that he would. Pacey can tell that AJ kissed her and asks, you know, what's the problem? Why are you here then? Joey says that AJ is just too smart, and she'll never feel the same about him as she, and Pacey finishes her sentence, as she feels for Dawson. And Joey says, no, she was actually going to say, as I felt for Dawson, past tense. So this kind of lands on Pacey that Joey might actually be over Dawson. And he tells Joey that regardless of what she thinks, she will fall in love again. You never think you will, but you do. And you find it in the strangest of places. Of course, we know he's referencing Joey. But AJ arrives at that time and interrupts them. He's curious about what happened earlier, and Joey opens up to him about how she feels inferior to him because he knows so much and she's just a high school girl. But he says that there's one thing he doesn't know. Girls. Beautiful girls. And the two are headed in a good direction. Andy can see Pacey is bummed and attempts to cheer him up, and they talk about their relationship. And Andy realizes now that she never needed to fix Pacey because Pacey never needed fixing. He's perfect just as he is. So when Joey gets home from the date, Bessie tells her there's a guy waiting for her. And we're wondering if it's Pacey, is it AJ? But it's actually Dawson. He tells her that he feels lost. And she says that he lost his true north. He asks her what hers is. And she says she doesn't have one. And at that moment, together, they see the Northern Lights. And that is episode 313, Northern Lights.
The beautiful Northern Lights.
The Aurora Borealis.
They say Aurora Borealis a lot in this episode.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but haven't you seen the Northern Lights?
I have, in Iceland.
I knew you went there.
Iceland is very nice. That's a Mighty Ducks quote for those of you playing along at home. Joshua Jackson, ding, ding, ding.
Drink.
Yes, I did see the Northern Lights. You have not seen them?
No, I'm fine. It's fine.
Well, they were visible this year from New Jersey, which is crazy. I didn't see them because it was cloudy, but a lot of people in New Jersey saw them this spring.
It was cloudy, just like in Capeside on AJ and Joey's date.
I know.
Visibility, terrible.
We needed AJ here to get us in the perfect location.
Aurora Borealis reminds me, for all the Big Brother viewers, of Rachel Riley, this girl that won Big Brother. She named her daughter Aurora Borealis. Not great. Or great. Whatever you wish, whatever you want.
Steve Weatherford, the old punter for the Giants, named his daughter Aurora, but they called her Rara, I think.
Oh, God.
Her other older kids couldn't say Aurora, so they called her Rara, and then it just stuck. You have to be really deliberate about nicknames if you have a baby, because whatever they're called will stick forever.
Sure. I would not name my daughter anything that rhymed with whore or hora, personally.
I think you're really smart.
Aurora the Horror. Anyway, so you saw the Northern Lights.
I saw the Northern Lights. They're beautiful. What they don't really tell you, though, is that...
Give us the hard-hitting truth.
You want the tea?
The Aurora Borealis.
Oh, I'll give you the tea. They often, to the naked eye, appear white.
You don't say.
And only are colorful in pictures. Wow.
What color were they when you saw them?
White, but the pictures are green.
That's crazy. I would feel gypped if I saw them. And they're white.
Something they don't tell you.
Dawson's Creek is full of lies.
Truly.
Because those were great.
That last shot was like a magical mystery tour. I was like Disney World.
And Joey was like, I thought they'd be bluer.
We know Joey's not happy with anything ever. Chronically underwhelmed.
Yeah. Okay, so who wrote this?
This episode was written by Gina Fator. She was most recently with us for 309 Four to Tango, and she was first with us for episode 305 Indian Summer. So you can go back and listen to that if you want to hear more about her.
Well, she's great. Her episodes are always pretty solid.
Indeed.
And who directed it?
This episode was directed by Jay Tobias. He is, interestingly, a career first and second AD, pretty much, who kind of had this little stint of directing in the late 90s and early 2000s. He started as a DGA trainee in 1983. So since 1983, he's been working in the directing space. He did some work as a second AD, and then he moved up to a second AD. And then he's been working exclusively as a first AD since 1994. So since 1994, he's only been a first AD or a director. In the late 90s to the early 2000s, he has 11 directing credits, which include 3 episodes of Homicide: Life on the Street. He was also a first AD there on that series. So they gave him 3 episodes, which is really cool and indicates he's really good at his job. And he has 1 episode of this show called Freaky Links. Have you ever heard of that show?
No.
It is a 1-season show starring Ethan Embry, who I love.
Love.
And it's a take on the Blair Witch Project, where a guy finds out that his supposedly dead brother isn't dead when he sees him on the internet. So it was like an early internet spooky adventure. I want to watch it.
Wow. X-Files-y.
Yeah, totally.
So who are we going to give the guest cast shout out to this week?
We're going to have to give the guest cast shout out to Robin Dunn playing AJ Moeller. He's a working actor. He's got tons of credits. He had a period of doing sequels that I didn't even know existed.
Cruel Intentions.
Cruel Intentions 2, Au Pair 2, Species 3, The Skulls 2.
Skulls, I remember that.
I did not know there was a Skulls 2, but I clicked on Skulls 2 and it was directed by Joe Chappelle, who I know and who is one of the best dudes. He's the nicest. He's good at his job. He's a great director. Can't say enough good things.
It's so rare to find people who are nice and good at their jobs.
Yes.
It's usually one or the other. You go, Joe Chappelle. You go, Glenn Coco.
And back to Robin. He lately has been in like almost exclusively Christmas movies, like Hallmark Christmas movies, Lifetime Christmas movies. He's been in My Christmas Hero, Making Sense of Love, Sense like Smelling Sense, Christmas on Mistletoe Lake, Sensational Christmas, like Smelling Sense, Christmas Movie Magic, Enchanted Christmas Cake. He's big into the baking, into the smelling, into the Christmas.
I just Google imaged him and he actually looks better now than he did then because I think he looked too old too fast.
He was in an awkward stage in Dawson's for sure.
Yeah. And he did play Sebastian in a Cruel Intentions prequel and it just didn't work for me. I didn't buy him as Sebastian. And I think it was a pilot that didn't get picked up to series. So they released it as like a prequel movie or something like that. Or the prequel movie was supposed to be like the backdoor pilot. One of those situations.
Got it.
I believe the show is called Manchester Prep, which is the school that they go to in Cruel Intentions.
You're full of knowledge.
What do you think about those music moments?
I got nothing.
I like the closing song.
I watched with the new music and then I just looked up the songs. So maybe if I had watched with it over picture, I would have liked it and it would have stood out more. But
I watched with the old music and I didn't recognize the closing song, but I really liked it. And I'm excited to put that on our playlist.
It's What Can Never Be by Sinead Lohan.
Let's crack this sucker open.
Let's do it.
Is this the first cold open that Dawson's not in?
Maybe.
I think it might be.
I feel like we've said this before, but maybe I'm thinking of, is this the first cold open that isn't in Dawson's bedroom?
That's definitely something we talked about.
Interesting. And it's Pacey and Joey. The tides are turning.
The tides are turning. Gives you a good, you know, indication of where things are headed.
Also, is this the first time we're seeing the Potter B&B sign?
The sign, it might be. I don't think we saw it on Weekend in the Country.
It's so cute. It gives me all the like warm feelings in my heart.
So they're running his lines.
They're running his lines and she brings up that she's not going to come to opening night of the play. And Pacey's voice, did you notice it gets progressively higher as he's like, the college guy? You're going to a frat party? Like he's so upset.
It's so sad.
It's really cute.
He loves her.
He does love her.
This is something we kind of talked about. I don't remember his crush being so obvious.
I completely agree. I remember getting breadcrumbs of it. Like, I thought it was more moments of the two of them where you're like, well, they won't they? But it's pretty blatant.
There's an episode coming up where Pacey needs to go and pick Joey up from somewhere and drive her back.
Mm-hmm.
Today in my head, that is the episode where he like kind of realized he likes her.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it still is. Do you think he knows now that he likes her? Maybe he doesn't.
I mean, we're getting ahead of ourselves, but I think based on the conversation with Jen later in the episode, he's succumbing to it. He's not fully like all in, but I think he's definitely being like, uh-oh.
Yeah. Well, he's quintessential Pacey in this. Like, I love his hair.
Love.
I love his little face. His little puffy face.
And his little jacket. I feel like he's always wearing a little jacket. You know I love a jacket.
Well, a scandal is afoot. Dawson has dropped film class and picked up study hall because he wants to study human behaviors. I just can't.
The deepest eye roll from Micah.
I can't with this.
Let me ask you a question.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that we are supposed to think or wonder about a romantic connection between Nikki and Dawson?
For sure. Yeah. And I think that was the intention. I think she was brought on to be a little love interest.
Okay.
But I'm guessing that Pacey Joey just took over, you know?
Yeah, I'm wondering.
Or maybe she was meant to be a little distraction to give Dawson something to do.
That's what I was just going to say. Distraction is the perfect word. And also, they are very friendly and they do have a connection, like that mutual, the divorce connection and all this stuff. I just was curious if it was intended to be romantic or if we were to think it might turn romantic or I don't know.
I think so.
In this episode, when she's like, I don't want somebody else. I want you. You know, like just that line felt a little bit weighty to me.
For sure. Capeside High. Look at that beautiful campus. What an aspirational school.
Beautiful.
Aesthetically, we know that the education and the teachers are garbage.
Mid.
Now, I will say, I'm reading, listening to Freaks, Gleeks, and Dawson's Creek, how 17 shows transform television. And I'm not done with the Dawson's Creek chapter, so I'll probably go into more detail probably next episode because I'll be done by then. It's just one chapter, the Dawson's Creek chapter. They did say a big part of launching the show season one was that they wanted Capeside to be aspirational. They wanted it to be like the cutest town you've ever seen. You wanted to live there or it reminded you of your hometown. All the shots are supposed to be like idyllic. That was very deliberate. In the book, they did talk about the twinkle lights that you always reference.
You love them.
The EPs put pressure on the art department to add more twinkle lights, more. Like there was never enough because it just created that scenic nighttime glisteny, you know, it's just very cinematic looking.
They killed it. They did a great job.
Yes.
I know, obviously, this show is inherently nostalgic because we watched it in our youth. So like it reminds us of our youth, but something about the imagery of it is a standalone, very nostalgic to me. Like it does feel homey to me and familiar.
Yeah, it's great. It really captures that like East Coast-y. Mm-hmm. I mean, we talked about it. It's filmed in Wilmington, but it really does remind me of like Northeast, you know?
Absolutely. Well, speaking of how big and beautiful the campus is, it cracked me up that the nurse's office was like a hospital. They had 3 beds, 2 nurses.
I know. It was like an infirmary.
The guy in the far bed had a thermometer in his mouth. The guy in the middle bed had a nosebleed. And then Mr. Broderick was in the third bed. But the guy in the middle bed was wearing like a striped shirt that looked like an old timey like sleep shirt. Like it really felt like I was in a 1900s infirmary. It really did.
Yeah, like a war infirmary. Yeah.
Like metal cots. Did you have beds in your nurse's office at school?
In grade school, we did, but I don't even remember a nurse's office in our high school, to be honest.
If you got hurt, you were out.
I don't remember where it would have been.
We had one, and I spent a fair amount of time there because I really liked the nurse, so I would like hang out with her. But we had one of those, like an exam table, like it was like low to the ground, but it wasn't a bed. It was like somewhere you could lay down if you like sprained your ankle or something. And she would be like, lay there until we call your mom to come pick you up.
Classic. Well, Mr. Broderick has a kidney stone. He's in the infirmary and he can't do the play.
Something about this kidney stone has changed his whole personality because he's suddenly very nice to Andy. It's always been her play. Gives her his binder and he's like, you've got it. You do it.
And she kills it.
She does.
Andy is running shit.
We knew she would.
Henry and Jen, she's trying to get out of the date. This is now the 5th time we've done the storyline with Jen and Henry.
I'm over it, to be honest.
It's fine. But can we get a different goddamn story for the love of God?
I know that the point of it all is like proving that he's there and he's in it and he's not going anywhere. But to me, it is so weird and annoying. And I would be like, I actually can't go out with you, Henry. You're too much for me. You're too much for me.
I wouldn't, because I love attention. But I just think it's Jen pushing him away. He needs to prove himself. He breaks down one of her walls. She gives in a little. And it's definitely the third or fourth time this has happened.
I'm over it.
I'm over it.
But you know what I do love? Henry locked his locker. He's the first person on this show that actually locked his locker. Praise be.
I didn't even notice it.
So I'll give him one more chance.
What has he got in there, you think?
Probably drugs.
What is he hiding?
I was Googling Michael Pitt earlier today, and he's from New Jersey, which I love. And the last line of his like early life section is that he spent time in a juvie center. So anything could be in that locker.
Michael Pitt spent time in a juvie center?
A detention center.
Oh my God. I could see that though. He has that like bad boy.
Oh my God. 100%.
We're not even going to talk about Jen and Henry this episode. It's the same thing. Go listen to the last three episodes. He wants her. She's like, no, I'm damaged. You're a child. You have childlike wonder.
Childlike petulance.
They kiss. Okay, great. Let's talk about how good Katie Holmes freaking looks for this date.
I wrote that down too.
Her hair.
Her hair is curly, which never really is.
I would say wavy or crimped.
Her hair looks like she put gel in it, but didn't know what to do with it. So it has texture, but we're not sure what
it
is.
Well, Bessie did her hair and makeup. And I would buy that Bessie screwed it up.
Bessie's like, this is what I do to my hair. And they have completely different hair textures.
Because, you know, Bessie tried to curl her eyelashes. And Joey was like, don't come near me with that.
That torture device.
It is so funny when Bessie comes into the room and she's like, AJ's here. And Pacey grabs her by the face and throws her out of the room.
I wrote that down. I love their dynamic. It's such a quick scene, but I love their dynamic. First, Bessie's like, it's a boy, but not the one we were thinking it would be. And she opens the door and Pacey comes in and Bessie kind of like pump fakes him and then like dances out the door. And then Bessie comes in and says, AJ's here. And Pacey straight up palms her in the face and pushes her out the door and closes the door. I love that. I love their little dynamic.
Yeah, you could tell like Josh and her just love each other.
Yeah.
Josh and Nina.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, I see what you mean now. They did like a blocking snafu, I think.
Yeah.
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 That's funny.
But back to Joey quickly. I love her sweater. It's like this blue, soft looking fuzzy sweater.
The sweater's amazing.
And it has this little like sparkle detail on the collar. I love it.
It's so good. And his jacket, I mean, it's funny because the fashions are all back now. Like, it just looks, this could be airing tonight, you know?
Big blazers? Are you talking about Pacey or AJ?
Pacey's, like, thermal lined corduroy jacket, yeah.
Yeah, I love that jacket. It's so Pacey to me.
Yeah, loves it. So Joey's wearing lipstick.
AJ comes and he's basically you. Joey tells Pacey that he's taking Latin, English, and French.
I know. I took...
Add Greek and we've got Micah.
I took all of those.
I know.
AJ looks 30.
I can't stand him. He looks like three toddlers standing on each other's shoulders in a man's sports coat with like really severe eyebrows.
It's so true.
He is both an old man and a young child.
Can I call you on the telephone? What did he say last episode? Can I telephone you? And she says, it wouldn't suck.
Oh, can I phone you?
It wouldn't suck. And they're at this party with all these old people, all these old teachers, drinking mead.
Quickly, before we dive into the party, Pacey does this thing, which he's done multiple times this season so far, where he's talking about Joey through the eyes of someone else. And he says, he's probably going to tell you how incredible you look tonight. But the way he says it is so cute. It's obvious that he thinks she looks incredible and therefore is saying that. But I just love him.
And let me tell you, at that party, those twinkle lights are everywhere.
Twinkle lights are twinkling. Also, quickly, this is just like for you as a writer, probably so obvious, but I just love that they planted Pacey at Joey's house when AJ showed up so that later when he shows up at the party, Pacey knows who he is. Like, Pacey's the one that spots AJ at the after party for the play. And he's like, oh, like, there, AJ's here. But obviously, it's because he knows him because he saw him earlier. It's just a nice little device that they used, and I appreciated it.
I didn't even pick up on that. Because Pacey didn't go to college in that episode.
No. That was his episode he wasn't in.
Yeah, and we needed him. Let me tell you.
The party is so ridiculous.
Absurd.
They're drinking mead out of metal cups.
I can't.
I do like, though, that AJ has the mead, brings it over to Joey, and he's like, they have pretentious taste in beverages. But then he sips it and he's like, oh, you can't drink this. This is alcohol. Okay.
So I personally was a little taken aback when he was like, oh, you're an overachiever. Girls who lose their mothers at a young age are, sir.
Yeah.
The line is over there and you crossed it. Okay.
AJ is autistic. Okay.
This is a first date. Do not bring up my dead parent. A. Also, don't try to like rationalize why I am the way I am using my dead parent. And then B, she's like, oh, like Madonna.
And he was like, I was thinking the Bronte sisters, but.
That's what I would be like. Check, please.
Go swim in the lake.
Look, I'm sure he's for some people. He's just not for me.
I'm with you. He's for somebody. And we'll meet that person in a few episodes.
You just jogged my memory.
Spoiler.
Okay. So Pacey has the jitters. He's in the basketball court. Dawson goes in and Pacey's like, last time we played this, I ended up with a broken nose or whatever. Last time we were here.
Mm-hmm.
Love that reference.
We love a Pacey Dawson basketball court moment. It does look like they're kind of in a like weird warehouse, though.
Yeah, that's not a school. It's like a community center or something.
I have no idea.
But Dawson's cute in this scene because he's trying to convince Pacey to go out on stage. And Pacey's like, no, I can't. And Dawson is saying, you know, if you love something, just lean into it. And Pacey's like, this is coming from you. You just dropped film class to do study hall. Dawson's just a good little friend in the scene. I liked that.
I liked it too. I actually really like Dawson in this episode a lot.
Yeah, me too.
He also in this scene, Pacey brings up that Joey's on the date and Pacey's a little up in arms and Dawson's like, that's cool. And he's like, what do you mean that's cool? Like you're inextricably bound to each other or whatever. And Dawson's kind of like, Joey's a big girl. She could take care of herself. It was bound to happen eventually. Like he's very chill.
Yes, but he misses the shot right when Pacey tells him, which goes to show you that he's not as chill as he lets on.
Ah, interesting. I did not pick up on that.
He's made all the other shots. And then right when he's about to fire off another one, Pacey says, I can't believe you're not more upset about Joey's date. And then he misses and Dawson says, oh, I'm terrible at this game. Like he's trying to cover it. And I think even though they're not crushing on each other right now, as we find out later, Joey references her feelings for Dawson in the past. It's still going to register with them. You know, they're never going to be like, okay with it, but they're not going to be up in arms about it either. The play is a success. Pacey's remembering his lines. He's killing it.
Also, big ups to the girl that plays Pacey's wife in the play, because she basically has two lines and got to kiss Joshua Jackson. Good for her.
Backing up, what do you think of Joey and AJ's kiss?
Made me cringe.
Yeah, there's no chemistry there.
He's like, charged particles from the sun are drawn to each other. They can't help it. And then he kisses her and I'm like, ugh.
And then she's like, I need to be somewhere. I need to meet a friend.
I just remembered I have somewhere to be.
Okay. So in the play, Pacey's character is like on the roof and he might jump and he wants to get his wife to admit something. And so Henry kind of mimics that at the rap party. He gets up on the rafters and he wants Jen to admit that, you know, she's been using him for 5 months and she doesn't have a crush on him and she doesn't like him. And then later she says, you have to stop with these grand gestures. And he says, just be honest with me. Have that childlike honesty that I have. And she kisses him. And it is a cute kiss, to be fair. Hopefully it means we're turning a corner with them.
It is cute. You're right.
I love Jen and Pacey's friendship. She walks right up to him and she's like, you're bummed because Joey's not here.
It is cute. They're very comfortable with each other. And I don't know if it was intentional or not, but when Joey walks up on the two of them and you hear Joey's voice before they see her face, Jen's face acting, it was really subtle, but I really thought it was effective. She says a lot in her face without saying anything.
You're talking about when she doesn't turn around.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think she's saying there? Like, do you think she's pissed? Do you think she's like exasperated?
I don't know. And that's why I think it's so effective, because you can tell that she's affected by Joey being there, but you don't know exactly what it is. I think it's more like she's just like, God damn it, this girl is fucking everywhere.
I know. It's so good. That's what I think it is.
Yeah. Like she's just trying to bond with these men and have these friendships. It's not even about anything romantic.
It is incredible how she doesn't turn around to acknowledge Joey at all.
I know.
Loves that. Loves Nikki's top.
Oh, I meant to mention that Nikki steals my look in the opening scene. She's got braids and a beanie. That's my winter go-to.
I love that red beanie she has on.
Very cute. And yes, she looks great at the party.
I love that.
Very 90s, very now. Very 2024.
Very 90s, very now.
Welcome to Back to You, Bob, a Dawson's Creek podcast. We're very 90s, very now.
That should be our tagline. So basically, she's pushing Dawson, what is going on with you? And he's like, look, you made me realize that, you know, my interests are a little limited and maybe I don't love this anymore. He tells a story about how when his parents took him to see Jurassic Park, there were people in front of him making out and he couldn't believe that anyone would want to make out and not watch this like brilliant masterpiece. And I don't even really know what the point of the story is, honestly.
He's like, the guy turned around to me and was like, one day you'll get a kid.
He says, like, I'm not the kid who loved the movie and I'm not the guy who makes out at the movie. So, like, what am I? Dawson's lost in this episode. That is what they're really driving home to. He's reassessing his passions and his priorities.
And he doesn't know what those are yet. He doesn't really know anything. But this is the chillest he's been in 3 seasons. So, I don't know. I have faith that he'll explore and figure it out.
Pacey can just tell Joey and AJ kiss. And he's like, you have lipstick smeared all over your face. And she said, that's what I get for letting Betsy talk me into Very Berry.
Well, he says, he kissed you, didn't he? She says, how do you know? And he said, he'd be a moron not to.
Plus you have lipstick smeared all over your face.
Plus you have lipstick smeared all over your face.
And he says, what's the problem then? And she said, I'm just never going to feel about him the way that I, and he says, feel about Dawson. And she said, no, felt about Dawson.
And he's really bummed when he says, feel about Dawson. You feel it a lot. And she's like, I was going to say felt. And she seemed surprised by that, by her own realization that she wasn't going to say. And in the current tense.
Yeah. And this lands on him. He really takes that in. He's like, whoa, they might be over. And he says, you'll fall in love again. Or no, he says, believe me, you'll find it in the strangest of places. Meaning that he has found it again since Andy. And he has found it with Joey.
Yeah.
And she says, how do you know this? And he's like, I'm an actor. I know everything. Or he covers it.
Yeah, he's really cute in this episode. I did not have much recollection of this episode, to be honest, before we watched it.
Me neither. I block out the AJ episodes. Mm. I really don't like the AJ era.
Well, we're halfway through. This is episode 2 of 4.
Oh, God, he's in 2 more. Yeah. I thought there was only 1 more.
I think there's 2 more.
Okay. Everything's fine.
Just a dog on fire in a room.
Everything's great.
This is fine.
I will say I love this episode, how everyone's together. Like everyone's at the party. Like that's really, I love when they do that. Everything's connected. Not everything's like fragmented, you know?
Definitely.
So 2 episodes ago, Barefoot at Cape Fests, everyone was like very fragmented. And like this week and last week, everyone's together. And like, it's just, I love that. They all have their separate storylines, but they all kind of overlap and cross. And like the night they had the study party in season 2, like the all-nighter. Like I just love when they do that.
And this episode felt very, for an episode that I didn't remember like at all, a lot happened in, like it felt very healing. Like there was a good Pacey-Dawson scene. Not that there's anything wrong with the two of them right now, but there was a good scene between them. There was a good scene between Pacey and Jen. But the best scene is the Andy-Pacey scene. It's been a long time coming. They sit down, they have a moment, and they talk about how both of them are great. And they do, they don't use the words love each other, but they love each other. They think each other are great. They don't think that there's anything to be fixed, which I think was a really important thing for Andy to say to Pacey. Pacey's kind of been spiraling back into his old self. And a lot of people attribute that to him losing Andy. But really, she's like, you didn't need to be fixed up. Like, you are great how you are. And he says, I think you're great. And they hug and they have like a really nice moment.
Yeah.
It was a little bit of closure.
It's really great. I mean, you know, I love Pandy. It was a really good scene.
Yeah. Jack's rising up to help Andy with the party and the show. Like, everybody's kind of there for everybody in this episode.
Yeah. There was, like, a lot of great crossover.
Yeah.
We got the Dawson and Pacey scene. Like you said, we got the Joey-Pacey scene. Lots of Pacey-Joey. Joey-Dawson.
And then Joey-Dawson, yeah, at the end.
Yeah. It was a lot of good crossing over.
And the Pacey-Andy scenes and the Joey-Dawson scenes felt very civil and warm and just healing and friendship, and it wasn't emotionally charged like a lot of their scenes have been.
Absolutely. I will say, to your point, I do think the Pacey and Andy scene should have went directly into the Joey Dawson scene. They put a Henry Jen scene in between them. Mm. But I would have liked that ex's friends counter. That would have been interesting.
Yeah.
To your point, they're complimentary of each other. These two groups of exes having these really civil closure types of conversations. I do have a bone to pick with the Dawson Joey scene.
Tell me.
In the Joey Dawson scene, he says, "I'm lost." She says, "You lost your true north." And he says, "What's yours?" And she says, "I don't have one." Well, perhaps you remember in episode 302 Homecoming, where they run into each other at the dock. It's after he got caught in front of Eve, in front of the whole school. And this is the first time like Joey and Dawson are really talking. And he's like, "What are you doing here?" And she's like, "I guess this dock is just my magnetic north." It was 10 episodes ago, unless it's changed.
The earth has shifted.
No, she doesn't have a magnetic north. It's canon, okay? Dawson's dock is Joey's true north. And then they see the Northern Lights, and they're green.
The Northern Lights are spectacular. They do look like they're straight out of a cartoon. That would be my only past and present. But, you know, we're working with different technology then. We have to lower our expectations for visual effects in the 90s/2000s.
I think it looks great.
Great.
When we used to have 22 episode orders, the middle of the seasons were always like kind of a dead zone. But I do think this season, this episode is pretty good for like a mid-season.
I think this season feels very alive to me, and that might be why it's a lot of people's favorites. And it's probably a testament to the showrunner change. But like the first half of the season was one thing, and then the transition period is another thing that they felt like they had to keep momentum going because they were in this weird place, I would imagine. And then the end of the season is a lot of people's favorite.
Yeah.
To your point, 213 is his leading lady.
Yeah, like that era was bad. To Be or Not to Be was good. That was 214. Uncharted Waters was good. But, you know, there's like there's always a mid-season lull when there's 22 episode orders where the excitement of the beginning of the season is kind of worn off and we're not quite at the end of the season build yet. But this episode was pretty solid.
Completely agree. For an episode that I didn't remember at all, I was pleasantly surprised by how much happened. That's it.
And that's the episode, you guys.
It's all she wrote. It's all Gina wrote.
Well, what are you watching?
I am finally starting my Bear journey. I'm watching The Bear. My partner and I started it last week. I mean, I know everyone's already watched it. I know it's amazing. But yeah, we're like halfway through the first season and I'm just so excited. It's really, really good.
I don't like it.
No?
I know it's like a weird sin and a really weird thing to say. But yeah, I couldn't get into it. I think we watched 7 episodes.
Interesting. It's one of those shows that I started multiple times and couldn't really get past the first couple. Like I watched the first 1.5 a bunch of times. And then once I said to him, I think we should watch The Bear together. And like we had to sit down and we had to watch it together and we talked about it. And I really like it. I really dig it.
Awesome. I mean, maybe I should start with season 2. Because like you, I've been on season 1 forever. I'm just not vibing with it. Maybe I should just go straight to season 2.
Also, every show isn't for everybody. So,
you know how when everyone's obsessed with a show and like you're not, it makes you feel like there's something wrong with you.
Yeah. What are you watching?
I am watching, oh my God, Monsters season 2, the Lyle and Eric Menendez story. It is unreal. Like at first I wasn't sure about it because it's like kind of campy and silly. But oh my gosh, as it goes on, it's just so dark and disturbing. And like, I'm just so gripped by it and so invested in it. I really enjoy it. And I liked season 1 of Monster as well, the Dahmer story. So I think this might be like this Ryan Murphy show like might be my thing. I'm very into learning more about these because he leans into the little known facts and theories of these killers. And, you know, I'm a true crime guy. So,
but remind me, I know that they killed their parents, but why?
Yeah, there was abuse. And I haven't watched the last few episodes yet, but I think there was a hung jury originally. And then the rules of hung jury is like you can't use some of the evidence from the first trial. So their defense was a little weaker in the second trial, I think is what the story is. It's very interesting. Obviously, that's why it garnered such national attention. It's like a very unique, interesting case. But I'm really into it. And yeah.
I want to watch.
And then for next week's What You're Watching, we can discuss Dr. Odyssey because neither of us have watched yet, but we will be.
Yes, I cannot wait to watch. I'm so excited.
And we'll have 2 episodes to discuss.
We'll have to do a little deep dive.
Yeah. What will we be drinking next time for episode 314?
Episode 314 is Valentine's Day Massacre, and we will be drinking the IV Blood Bag. It is cranberry cocktail. Blanco tequila and lime juice. And to be honest, the only thing that makes it special is that you can drink it out of a food grade IV blood bag, which we probably won't be doing, but we'll be drinking it nonetheless.
We definitely won't be. Oh my God, I just read the log line for this episode and I remember it now.
All right, that's it.
We'll see you next time.
See you next time.
Bye.
Bye.